Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us today. Here is our latest update on COVID-19 in Pennsylvania. As of 12 a.m. this morning, we have 1,102 new cases of COVID-19. This brings our statewide total to 43,802 Pennsylvanians who have tested positive for COVID-19 in all 67 counties. Approximately 2,634 of our total cases are in healthcare workers. Approximately 7,698 of our total are associated with 461 long-term care living facilities, which include nursing homes and personal care homes. Our work to reconcile data from several sources regarding deaths among patients who have tested positive for COVID-19 continues. We have discussed this actually yesterday and certainly over the last number of weeks. Today's update includes data matched from our electronic death reporting system over the last 10 days. This brings our statewide total to 2,195 COVID-19 patients who tragically have passed away. And to date, all the deaths have been in adult patients. It's important to remember with this reconciliation and data analysis that this is in regards to reporting of cases of deaths that have taken days or a week or more to occur. So it is not one day's reporting. It's several days, if not a week or more, of reporting. The count has gone up because of the reconciliation of our data systems. As of noon today, hospitals are reporting that approximately 2,781 patients are currently hospitalized due to COVID-19. 602 of those hospitalized have required the use of a ventilator or breathing machine. Across our healthcare system, approximately 47% of hospital beds, 40% of ICU beds, and nearly 70% of our ventilators are actually still available. I know that everyone has been thinking about what life will be like when we move parts of the state from red to yellow, and eventually to green. Pennsylvanians are certainly ready to get back to work and ready to get back to their regular routines. But it is very important to remember that social distancing and wearing a mask are still going to be important when we move from red to yellow. We must be very careful and remain vigilant in our social distancing efforts during this time. If we move too quickly, we will see that more people will become sick and more people will tragically pass away. So if you can work from home, please continue to do so, even in regions and counties that go from red to yellow. If you need to go to a store because you need a necessity, please do so, but wait until you need several things from that store instead of making daily trips or multiple daily trips from your house. And most importantly, to take care of one another, you should really not visit someone who is sick or has a compromised immune system, especially if they are seniors. Because seniors and those with other comorbidities or other medical conditions are most at risk. I know that we miss seeing our loved ones. I certainly do. Miss seeing my mother on a regular basis. But when we move from red to yellow, it is not a signal that we are releasing everyone to go about their regular normal activities. It is a staged process. And yellow actually means that we need to proceed with caution. Here are my daily reminders. Please wash your hands with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Or as we all know now, the time it takes to sing happy birthday twice. And use hand sanitizer if soap and water are not available. Cover any coughs or sneezes with your elbow, not with your hands. And try not to touch your face, especially after touching a surface. Clean surfaces frequently. And if you have to go out for life-sustaining activities, please wear a mask if you're going to come into contact with others. These everyday prevention measures can help slow the spread of the dangerous virus COVID-19 and give hope to our families and our communities that we can and we will recover together. If you have questions about your health, please contact your health care provider. And if you need mental health resources because you or someone you know is experiencing a mental health crisis, please contact the crisis text line by texting PA to 741-741 or call the statewide support and referral helpline at 1-855-284-2494. Again, 1-855-284-2494. For the most reliable information related to Pennsylvania's response to COVID-19, please visit our website at health.pa.gov. And what is most important for Pennsylvanians to remember is stay calm, stay home, and stay safe. And now I'm pleased to answer questions.
Thank you, Secretary. Our first question is from WLVR. In the Lehigh Valley, homeless encampments are popping up across the city as resources are shut down. Some homeless advocates call this a, quote, ticking time bomb for an explosion of coronavirus in these communities. What has the state done to help protect the health of the homeless population, and how does it plan to bolster its efforts in the coming days and weeks?
I think this is a very significant issue. I know that we have had discussions with the county and municipal health department partners about the homeless populations. We've discussed the homeless population in Philadelphia with Dr. Farley and in Pittsburgh with Dr. Bogan of Allegheny County. We have regular discussions with our county and municipal health department partners, including those in Allentown in the Lehigh Valley. And we work with the Department of Human Services. I think that we need to really work to help the homeless and provide housing whenever possible. It is a significant public health concern because of spread of COVID-19. So we're working on that.
This question is from WJAC. Has a list been finalized of which types of businesses will be allowed to open and which will not in the yellow stage? And when will that be made public?
Well, we've been working with the governor's office in terms of which businesses will be able to open in the yellow phase and which will need to remain closed. And later this week, we'll be discussing those specifics.
From WNEP, as the state moves towards a gradual reopening with rules that limit the size of social gatherings, how long do you expect it will be until places such as Knoebels Amusement Park or Dorney Park may be able to open safely?
Well, I don't know the details of that. Of course, as Dr. Fauci says, the virus determines the timeline. We don't determine the timeline. And those facilities would not open in a yellow phase where gatherings more than 25 individuals is not going to be part of the process. So that would be when we're moving to green phase, and I don't specifically know that. But we'll all be hoping for that in the summer.
We have the same question from the Philadelphia Inquirer and Spotlight PA about large child care centers. Has the state made a determination yet as to whether child care centers, some of which have large enrollments, will be allowed to operate in the yellow phase when people start going back to work? And if yes, what kind of guidelines will they have to follow to safely operate?
Mm-hmm. Well, child care centers will need to open in the yellow zone so families can go back to work. And we're working on those guidelines with the Department of Human Services, and they'll be released soon.
And as a follow-up to that from Spotlight PA, will a determination be made separately for whether or how summer camps can reopen?
We have not made that determination, but that's under discussion with the governor's office.
And we have one more question from WNEP about summer activities. A viewer asks, with summer approaching, is it possible to spread the coronavirus in water, such as swimming pools or lakes?
There is no evidence that coronavirus can spread in water. It's spread in droplets in the air, and so should not be spread in pools or lakes.
We have a question from the Philadelphia Inquirer about contact tracing. According to an NPR report yesterday, Pennsylvania does not meet the estimated need for contact tracing with only 160 staff members or 1.2 staffers per 100,000 residents. To handle COVID-19, the state would need nearly 30 times that. How does the health department plan to address this?
So we are have pretty much finalized our contact tracing plan. We'll be releasing that later this week. And we understand that it won't just be our staff. We're going to be working with many local and county and municipal partners on that, as well as our county municipal health department partners. We're going to collaborate with hospitals and health systems. And so we have really an excellent plan from our staff, and we'll be releasing that later this week.
We have several questions from WKK on reopening. With North Central PA expected to go into the yellow phase next Friday, which factors, metrics, and timeline will be used to determine when that part of the state becomes green? Who's in charge of making that decision?
Well, so right now we're concentrating on which counties and regions will go from red to yellow. But you're right, we'll be watching the situation, making sure that there are no outbreaks, that there's no clusters of COVID-19, or if they are, that we're able to contain them really well. We'll want to make sure that hospitals and health systems have robust capacity to take care of patients. And so we're working on that now. As we counties do go and regions do go from red to yellow, we'll be starting to think of what the next step would be. And as always, the governor makes the final decisions.
Is it conceivable that some parts of the state might advance to the green phase of reopening while others are still in the red phase?
It's kind of hard to speculate that. A lot depends upon the situation on the ground and in terms of the spread of COVID-19 in rural areas and suburban areas, and of course in the large metropolitan areas such as Philadelphia, Philadelphia City and Philadelphia County. So it's very hard for me to determine that.
And finally, on the green stage, do you know regulations for restaurants in the event that we move to the green stage down the road?
So I don't have granular detail on that, but we're going to be working on that in the future. Right now, as the announcement will be on Friday about which counties go to yellow, we are concentrating on that aspect of our plan.
This question is from Fox 56. Nursing homes continue to be hard hit by the virus. What can we do to make it safer for patients and workers?
Well, I think that that's a, an excellent question. And we're very concerned about seniors in long-term care living facilities such as nursing homes and personal care homes and anyone living in congregate settings. We have had nursing home and personal care home guidance that we have put out. We have revised that. There have been guidance from the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services federally, and we're working to make sure all the nursing homes are following that guidance. We have jumped upon clusters and cases and clusters in those facilities with infectious disease consultations and guidance. We've had teaching in terms of how to use personal protective equipment. We have pushed out PPE, personal protective equipment, to those facilities. In fact, we had a large push in the last 24 hours of N95 masks and other PPE to those facilities. And we have consulted with ECRI to do even more infectious disease consultations. Where more care is needed, then we've had fantastic partnership with the Pennsylvania National Guard and their medical personnel to actually go into nursing homes and to help those facilities. But they are very challenged. We're continuing to see more cases and tragically more deaths. And our team was talking when I walked in the door about what else we can do to help nursing homes, personal care homes, and long-term care living facilities, their patients and residents and their staff. We'll be looking at other states to see what they're doing and what any other national examples. So we're going to do absolutely everything we can to help those vulnerable populations.
Another question on nursing homes from the Scranton Times. Over the past 2 weeks, the number of cases in nursing and personal care homes has remained alarming. For example, almost half of Lackawanna County's new cases over that time frame came from those facilities. Why do you think these facilities continue to struggle so much to contain the disease?
Well, as we've been saying all along, they are very vulnerable. So if a case develops in one of the facilities, because of the nature of the care in many of the nursing homes and other personal care homes, it tends to spread. It's very hard to control. In addition, Predominantly, there are seniors, 65 and older in those facilities. Seniors are more at risk for COVID-19. There are many patients with comorbidities or other medical conditions, such as heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, kidney disease, and that makes them more prone to getting COVID-19 and having a more severe response to COVID-19. So in Pennsylvania, it's a very challenging situation, as it has been in every other state, as well as in many other countries. And so we're going to be working on it every day and do everything we possibly can to help them.
Our next question is from PBS 39. Is there any clearer idea why there was such a rise in cases in Northampton County yesterday with 136 new cases? And we see that the number of deaths has gone from 55 yesterday to 85 today, matching the figures put out by the county coroner. What prompted the sharp increase in the state's death total for Northampton County?
Well, first, in terms of the increase in the number of cases, our staff has been looking into that. And I think there was a release of a large amount of case information and positive and test results from some of the commercial laboratories and hospitals. And so we'd love to have that released be in a daily fashion, but it doesn't always come back from the commercial laboratories like that. We call it a data dump. And so that increases the number of cases in an asymptomatic way, asynchronatic way, in a asynchronous way. And in terms of the deaths, as we've been saying, we had a reconciliation of all of our data from our NED system, our regular data reporting system, but also our electronic death reporting system, which is through Vital Records. We reconciled that data, and so from a number of counties, the numbers increased, and we did become much more in line with what the coroners had been reporting.
We have another question from the Scranton Times. The state issued a revised process to reopen PA plan on Saturday morning. The plan eliminated the reliance on regional health districts. Why did this happen? And is the state no longer taking a regional approach to reopening?
No, we are taking a regional approach, and we have put out our healthcare regions as an example of what those regions look like. But the governor has said all along that we're not going to have to be beholden and follow any specific schema. So it was a really good example, but we don't have to follow what those regions are. But we are going to still take a regional approach. It might not be those specific designations.
From Capital Wire, with regard to the latest reconciliation in virus death totals, could you break out how many occurred since yesterday's report, and then how many occurred during which weeks the reconciliation covers? Additionally, can you tell from where most of the reconciled deaths were reported, excuse me.
So I don't have all of that granular data. I don't have the specifics about what number came from our NEDS reporting system in the last day and what number came from the Vital Records electronic death reporting system. We can do that type of an analysis and be able to give that type of data.
This question is from WTAE. The Armstrong County Commissioners issued a formal request today to the governor's office to be excluded from the Southwest region because of their case counts. Commissioners there feel they are more suited to be in the Northwest region and ready to reopen sooner. Is the governor willing to consider these requests, and is there any plan to adjust the regional approach?
Well, we are looking at that information right now. We're always pleased to get correspondence from county commissioners and from the legislature about these issues and read and consider them. In the end, the governor will make his decision.
This question is from WFMZ. We understand that the state's Wilkes-Barre location is testing all symptomatic people who live in the Northeast, but for many people that could be an hour or more away. Does the possibility that people are unable to get to that location or unwilling to travel this far pose any problems for ensuring our regional testing data are geographically representative?
Mm-hmm. No matter where we put a mass testing location, there's always going to be challenges driving and getting to that site. Our team and PEMA's team thought very hard about that, but decided that this was the best place to put the site. Actually, since our discussion several days ago, the numbers have increased to pretty much what we expected, and we're very pleased about that.
We have a question from Lehigh Valley Live on nursing homes. How are nursing homes and long-term care facilities reporting their COVID-19 cases and deaths to the state? How and when is this information added to the state's COVID-19 dashboard? And have facilities refused to provide case information to the state?
Facilities have not refused to provide case information, and they put it into NEDS, or our usual data reporting system, and that usually is updated at least daily for the dashboard.
From the Butler Eagle, there was another spike in cases today, and we've seen ups and downs over the past couple weeks. How will these spikes attributed to data collection affect a region or county's chances in reopening?
Well, we didn't have a spike in cases today. We did have an increase in deaths due to the reasons that I've explained before. But we're looking over time and looking at a framework over at least 2 weeks to look at the data for any county or any region. So one day's change would not influence that.
This question is from WNEP. A viewer asks, how many deaths, cases of the seasonal flu have we had this year compared to this time last year? Are all flu cases being added to our total as COVID-19 cases?
Well, so certainly the flu cases are not being added to the COVID-19 cases. It's a completely different virus and a different situation. And so they're completely separate. We did look at that data. So we had 130,000 lab-confirmed cases of influenza this year, and we had 102 deaths. But again, COVID-19 is a completely different virus. This is a novel or new coronavirus. No one has had, when this came out, had immunity to this virus. Studies have shown that it is more contagious than the flu, and it is potentially more lethal than the flu, probably at least 10 times more lethal, maybe between 10 and 20 times more lethal than the flu. From the numbers that we have seen in just 2 months in Pennsylvania, and nationally, you can see the risk from COVID-19.
We have a couple of questions on the Brighton Rehabilitation Nursing Home in Beaver County. First from WPXI. Numbers jumped in Beaver County, 59 to 65, all coming from the same zip code where Brighton Rehab is located. Can you confirm the cases are from there, and is the state working with Brighton to bring those numbers down?
Well, so I can't confirm the specific location within a zip code of where the cases were from, but certainly the situation at the Brighton nursing home has been extremely challenging, and we're doing absolutely everything we can to help that home. We actually have installed a temporary manager to help the facility. We have contracted with and brought in our consultant, ECRI, to do infection control education. We have pushed out personal protective equipment. We have more than daily phone calls. And so we are concentrating on that nursing home, doing everything that we can to protect the vulnerable residents and staff.
From the Post-Gazette on Brighton, the Brighton Rehabilitation Nursing Home in Beaver County now has 58 deaths and 248 positive cases in the building. But the State Department of Health continues to say that they have not done anything wrong that led to this. How can that be the case with so many deaths and more than half the residents in the building testing positive?
I'm not going to really be able to give any more detail about that in terms of what they did wrong. It certainly has been an extremely challenging situation. We are working with them. Again, we've installed a temporary manager. We have our infectious disease consultants working with them every day. And we will do, again, everything we possibly can for the residents and staff there.
Our next question is from Penn Live. Other states, such as Florida and Arkansas, have allowed horse racing to continue without fans, since most of the essential personnel needed to operate the races already live at the track. Has or will Pennsylvania consider allowing racing to resume, perhaps without spectators, either statewide or once counties with tracks enter the yellow phase?
Really don't have an answer for that question, and I'd refer that to the governor's office.
From WBRE and WYOU, as counties reopen, will elderly and at-risk workers be required to return to work? And will the state offer any guidance to physicians about doctor's notes for these individuals to stay home for a period of time?
Well, we want everyone that can stay home and work remotely to do that. In terms of places that have to reopen to be able to continue their business, we'll need to take that on an individual basis in regards to the age and vulnerabilities of specific workers. And so that's going to be part of that process as we go from red to yellow, working through all those specific details.
Our next question is from the Tribune Review. Have you begun looking into the new data out of a Yale study indicating that COVID-19-related deaths likely exceed what has been reported so far? Is the department taking these findings into account? And are there any plans to re-examine pneumonia and influenza deaths that occurred in February or early March?
So I haven't seen the Yale study, but I'd be pleased to take a look at it. And I'm sure our staff and our epidemiologists are pleased to look at any study and to kind of take another look at our data.
We have another question from the Post-Gazette on data. The state continues to have daily more than 1,000 new positive cases. Has the state analyzed who makes up these cases now that we're 6 weeks into the lockdown? Are these new positive cases mostly nursing homes, first responders, other essential workers, or is there evidence that people still are contracting the coronavirus by, say, going to the grocery store or taking a walk, or something else we are still permitted to do?
Really all of the above, but it depends upon the location. So as we've been saying, there are regions and counties in Pennsylvania that have had much less community spread than other regions and counties. And so that's going to form the basis of the governor's plan to go from red to yellow and eventually from yellow to green. In the most hard hit areas, such as the Southeast, then there is still evidence of community spread. But the question does bring up a very important point. We are seeing many new cases in long-term care living facilities and those type of congregate settings, as well as healthcare workers, and they're very challenging, vulnerable populations.
This question is from WTAE. Governor Wolf said yesterday that there will be a lot of subjective decisions regarding opening up regions or counties. Can you talk about some of those factors you're looking at when deciding whether or not to open up a county, particularly as it relates to Southwest PA?
We are looking at many different factors, as the governor has said and I have repeated in my press conferences. One is that quantitative metric that we've discussed a lot, but others would be the ability for us to work with our partners on testing, to work with them on contact tracing, about the ability of the healthcare system in those counties and regions to be able to deal with patients with COVID-19 if there's a cluster or an outbreak. And so there are a number of different factors that will go into the final decisions and our recommendations to the governor and then the governor's final decisions.
We have a question from Fox 43 about dentists. We know there is a new policy for hospitals and elective surgeries in place. Are dentists affected by the rule, and are dentists' offices allowed to reopen to see patients?
So the dental offices were not impacted by the rule in terms of elective procedures for hospitals and ambulatory surgical facilities, but there has been new dental guidance that either has come out or will be coming out in the near future.
From the Daily American, as nursing home cases continue to rise, will the department release the names of the homes where positive cases occurred?
We've been discussing the pros and cons of that. I know that the media and the public want to know those names. We also want to take in consideration the privacy of the residents and staff in those nursing homes. And so it is a balance, and we're still discussing that possibility.
We have a question from WJAC about cases in our state correctional facilities. For counties that house SCI facilities, how is the Department of Health taking into account the number of cases a facility might have with the county's total case count? For example, SCI Huntington has confirmed 23 cases between inmates and employees, and Huntington County's total case number is 29. Is there a direct correlation with those numbers?
I'm not exactly sure. So instead of making a guess, I'm going to check back with our team so that we can give you accurate information about that question.
From the Altoona Mirror, regarding contact tracing, the electronic version from Apple and Google say it will be strictly voluntary. Could that be a problem? What if lots of infected people don't buy in?
Well, contact tracing, by definition, is voluntary. We have no legal authority to make people talk with us or to use that type of technology. But you know what? I believe, as the governor does, that Pennsylvanians want to do the right thing. They want to do the right thing for their families and for their communities and their counties and for Pennsylvania. And if part of that is working with our disease investigators, working in terms of contact tracing, using simple technology to be able to help us, we believe that Pennsylvanians will do the right thing and will help us.
From WJAC, how long will it be mandated that Pennsylvanians wear masks when entering businesses and the workplace? At what point during the reopening process will the mask order be relaxed?
You know, certainly not when we go from red to yellow. Yellow will mean that we continue to wear masks. And even when we go green, you know, COVID-19 is not necessarily going to be gone from the United States. And so we're going to have to watch for clusters and for outbreaks and for any type of resurgence in the future. And I think it would be prudent, and our general recommendation would be, when people are out and about seeing other people, that they wear a mask. It is a simple but very powerful way of protecting the community. Remember, my mask protects you, your mask protects me. If we're both wearing a mask, it protects our community. And again, the governor and I feel very strongly that people want to do the right thing for their communities and the right thing for Pennsylvania.
Our last question for today is from Public Source. During the yellow phase, should people refrain from socializing in small groups outside their home?
Well, so the rule will be to avoid groups 25 or more. But I think it is still prudent for people to stay home as much as possible and to not socialize, especially in large groups. We want to be very vigilant, as I was saying before, very careful and vigilant about the spread of COVID-19. And I think that that would still be the right thing to do when we go from red to yellow.